Just before we start, as Robert's final Sunday at St. Peter's approaches next week, I want to assure everyone that this 10 o'clock conference call and Zoom service will continue. I realise that this service has not just been important because of the pandemic, but it has been important to those who do not find it easy to go to church, and it's enabled us to worship regularly in our own homes, and wonderfully, a new community has formed. So the order of service will be emailed to you and posted on our websites in the usual way. And sometime in the future, I would hope to share the leading of this service with other people. So if you're interested in helping me do that, please let me know, or the wardens of St. Peter's, that's Jill and Bill, know as well. And the same is true of the coffee morning. We would like to continue with this on a Wednesday morning because it's been great for us to be able to get together. But I might need to try and share the hosting of that in the future. Anyway, be assured we will still be continuing with this 10 o'clock service well after Robert has left St. Peter's.
Hurrah. Well done, boss.
Can't get rid of me that quickly.
No, no. We've tried all sorts of things, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, vanish, all kinds of stuff. Let's turn now our attention to worship, morning prayer on this first Sunday after Trinity. Let's pray. Go before us, O Lord, and as we come to worship you now, meet with us, we pray. And by your Spirit, change us to be a little more like your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen. So we turn to our psalm, Psalm 130, and we say the refrain together.
My soul waits for the Lord.
Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to mark what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you shall be feared.
My soul waits for the Lord.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than the night watch for the morning, more than the night watch for the morning.
My soul waits for the Lord.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
My soul waits for the Lord.
Glory to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
But our first reading comes from the second epistle of St. Paul to the church in Corinth, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our canticle this morning is a song of David, and we say together, Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever, for yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all.
And our second reading comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. For people were saying, he's gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, oh, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, Who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What are you afraid of? What is your deep-seated fear? We all have at least one. Is it a fear of spiders or flying? Mine is being in a confined space with birds flying all around. When I lived and worked in London, I used to make myself walk across Trafalgar Square on my way to Charing Cross Tube Station to try and overcome my fear of the flying pigeons. Or maybe you are afraid of something much more personal, much deeper. Afraid of failure, afraid of losing someone, afraid of being found out. Afraid of being found out that I am not the person everyone thinks I am. Imposter syndrome, the fear of being exposed as a fraud. I think it happens to most of us at some time. I know it happens to me. It's like knowing that there are cracks in the house, and despite trying to cover them up, there are cracks. A divided house cannot stand, and a divided kingdom cannot survive, Jesus said in the parable we have just heard from our gospel reading. From the beginning, right through Mark's gospel, we have seen Jesus bringing wholeness and healing, bridging the divide, mending the cracks. He has driven out evil spirits, healed the sick, healed a man with leprosy and a man who could not walk, touched Peter's mother-in-law and made her well, preached the forgiveness of sins, and called 12 disciples from disparate backgrounds with different personalities. Jesus brought these people together into places of healing and wholeness. To use the language of Jesus' parable, they were people who had lived in houses that had cracks. They lived in kingdoms that were divided against themselves. They had experienced pain and trauma. They had been set apart from their communities. They had been on the margins of society. They were people on the edge. There were battles being fought in their physical lives and in their spiritual lives. These battles, which we all face internally and externally, are part of being human. If we had had our Old Testament reading, we would have heard the story from Genesis, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were separated from him because of their disobedience. So divided and conflicted were they that they blamed each other. Well, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent. The unity of their relationship, that of being helpmeets, was fractured and broken. They were no longer one. They were at odds. And worse than that, they were no longer at one with God. They were at odds with him too. What had once been an intimate and complete relationship was fractured. The story goes that they tried to separate themselves from God and to hide from him. If I'm honest, I know what it's like to feel compromised and divided. When you know that the person people see from the outside does not match up to what's happening on the inside. When you are one person at work and another at home. When you treat one set of people differently to another. When life becomes fragmented into different pieces, and you are left trying to put the pieces back together. Which is such a contrast to Jesus. He is not compromised and divided. He always stands before us, complete and whole. He epitomizes unity. That's why the crowds came to him. They came to Jesus with the fractured, broken fragments of their lives, wanting him to bring healing and wholeness, emotional healing, physical healing, and spiritual wholeness. That's why the religious authorities were so against Jesus. They were trying to put the broken pieces of their lives together by rules and regulations and burdensome demands. And that's what Jesus' family were trying to do. They were trying to put their family back together by taking charge of Jesus because they think he's mad. They probably wanted him to go back home, take up carpentry again, lead a quiet life, and stop being an itinerant preacher and teacher. But it won't work because Jesus isn't like that. When we are broken, we need to come to Jesus to be put back together. Jesus is the only one who can take the broken fragments of our lives and make them whole. But in order to do so, we have to see and acknowledge the cracks. It's a painful place to be. We find it hard to make ourselves open and vulnerable. And it also means that change is on the way, which is never easy. But it is the way that brings goodness and new life. Of course, for most of us, when we find ourselves in an uncomfortable position, being confronted by the truth of our own shortcomings and brokenness, we lash out. It's a form of defense. He's out of his mind, Jesus' family say. He's possessed by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. But saying such things is a distraction and a smokescreen. It's a good way of avoiding what's really going on with them. How easy, and yet how utterly sad, to call the Prince of Peace and Saviour of the world the very opposite of all that he was and all that he is. It's not easy to look at the brokenness and evil of our own lives, but it is the start of wholeness and healing. Where are the broken pieces of our lives? In our relationships? In our churches? Are the pieces of our lives shattered by anger or resentment or unforgiveness or sadness or disappointment or guilt? Or I could go on. We need to bring our brokenness to Jesus. He is stronger than anything that fragments our lives. He binds up the brokenhearted. He heals our wounds. He is the potter and we are the clay. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that he cannot renew in us. If we let him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will remake us and refashion us and make us whole. Amen.
Let's turn now to prayer. Let's begin with a moment of quiet as we reflect on what we've heard and as we come to God in prayer. So let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant it the peace and the unity of your kingdom. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. eternal God, in whose perfect realm no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, and no strength known but the strength of love. So guide and inspire the work of those who seek your kingdom, that all your people, of every colour, race, class, and creed, may find their security in that love which casts out fear, and in the fellowship of Christ our Saviour. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and those who care for them. Today we pray especially for Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Dennis, Roy, Christine, Prissy, Mike, Aileen, and others known to us. Be close, we pray, to all who suffer. Bring them hope and bring them healing in the name of Christ our Saviour. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. And we remember with thanksgiving all those whom we love but see no longer. Especially we give thanks today for the lives of Pam Hilton, Mavis Pope, Jean Woodley, Gaynor Grimston, and others recently departed this life, and all who we remember with love and thanksgiving. We pray for their families and friends, and for all who mourn. Lord, receive our praise and hear our prayer. And the collect for this first Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments, we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for being with us again this morning. We hope to see you next week, same time, same place.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah, very much, very much.
Yeah, we do.
And rabbits.
And rabbits are compulsory. Yeah. Have a great day, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, telephoners.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
Thank you, Zoomers. Bye. Thank you, Steph and Robert.